Let's have a conversation on my philosophy around site selection for self-storage facilities today. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And what I do is I support the small investor who wants to get into self-storage business or grow their self-storage business in a way that creates true wealth and a fulfilling career. And again, just to let you know, I have two slots left on one-on-one coaching. If there's any interest for you at this moment for working with me directly, you can go to the link in the episode if you're on creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com or in the comments section below and schedule a call with me. Later on in this episode, we'll talk about a group coaching alternative. But today in this episode, I want to talk about my philosophy on site selection and feasibility of a site, feasibility analysis of a site. So not a day goes by, I don't hear from somebody. Boy, there's self-storage going up everywhere, on every corner. Heard it today. What that does for us in the self-storage business, that means that there's a lot of market areas and particularly a lot of trade areas that have too much self-storage in them. So in today's world, it's never been more critical than to be able to do good site selection. Not only have the site meet some of the criteria we're going to talk about, or at least you'll know what my philosophy is, but also have it be located in a trade area that's not overbuilt. Perhaps the barrier of entry is harder for other people to get into, and the odds of you being able to get the stabilization are good. Once you're at stabilization, in my world, nothing's handled, but the real risk is down. So let's talk about site selection and visibility. In our brands, 86% of our customers live within 3.2 miles of our facilities. Now that's our overall in both brands I've been involved in. So, you know, no facility is exactly that. And in the more, you know, rural you are, the further, the bigger the market area, the more dense the population, the smaller the market area. But on average, at least in our world, it was 3.2 miles. And I think that is relatively average in the industry itself. So at any given moment in that 3.2 miles, let's say, or 5 miles, only about 10% of the population at any given moment is going to want to use storage. So my philosophy on a good site is I want people, or a lot of the people, hopefully the majority of the people that live in my 3.2 miles in my market area, I want them to drive by my facility. Whether they need me or not, I want them to see me. Then, when they do need storage, they'll either call me, or when they go online, they'll see our facility and say, oh yes, that facility, and they start with us. Then, you know, we close on them, but that's a whole nother episode. But I want the location of my facility to be one that people who live in my market area, which is small, the majority of those people hopefully drive by me often, sometimes daily. I also want my facility to be accessible. A great facility, for example, might be one where people see me from the expressway. They have to go to the one of two exits or either exit to get to me. But in a perfect world, off an expressway, I want them to have three turns to get into my facility. So accessibility and visibility in my world for storage are still very, very important. Believe it or not, the vast majority of our customers still say they see me, and so we call that drive-by. How they know, how they decided to come to us was because they see us. So visibility, easy accessibility, for storage are still very critical. At least that's my philosophy. Now let's talk about number two, demographic analysis. Very early on, I do a preliminary look into the demographics of a particular site if it meets the visibility and accessibility component. And what am I looking for? Well, in the 90s or the early 2000s, you would hear things like, I want to see 50,000 people within a 5-mile radius or a 3-mile radius or whatever the number was. Well, that's good in Atlanta. It's not necessarily that good in Mobile, Alabama. But I pay attention to population size. I want enough people in my trade area or my 3.2 miles or my 5 miles, whatever I'm guessing it is as I'm looking at that particular site, I want there to be enough people so that 10% of them equals a number of some kind. More importantly, I'm looking for population growth. I've discovered that population growth will fix almost any and all mistakes I make, and I'll make them, as a owner and developer. So again, not a magic number, but I want to see population going up, not down. If population is going down, that means over the next 5-10 years, the demand for my product's going to go down because there's less people. So I want to see population going up. Is there a number? Not necessarily, but I want to see good, healthy population growth. I want to see jobs growth. But if I'm in a market where the population is growing 1.5 to 3%, that's great. Anything over that is fantastic. I also look at income levels. Now, again, no magic number, just depends on what part of the country I'm in. You know, $80,000 or $60,000 net household income in Jackson, Mississippi, or Birmingham, Alabama, I mean, those are great numbers. Louisville, Kentucky, great numbers. That's dang near poverty in San Francisco. So again, no magic number I'm looking for. I'm much more interested in the overall market area in my trade area, the 3.2 or 5 miles or whatever. What's my average income or household income in relation to the market? Is it equal, above, below? It's great if it's above. What I've discovered is the smaller the average income or household income, the shorter the stay of the average customer. Shorter the stay of the average customer, the less lifetime value of a average customer there is. So I can spend less money on marketing. There's also a greater churn. You burn more calories per gross dollar because you've got more people moving in and out. So there is no exact number I'm looking for, but I certainly don't want to be on the low end of household income in a market area. Why? It's going to be a lot more work for the same amount of money. Lease up is slower too because people stay for shorter periods of time. I also look for renters compared to homeowners. There again, no magic number, but I like to see a healthy percentage of homeowners. It lets me know that I'm not in a low income part of that particular market area. I like both. Both of them need self-storage. Typically, if I'm in a high-end area with lots of basements, they're going to need storage less than if I'm in a high-end area where there's no basements. So just looking at the house, what type of homes are there, what percentage owned, what percentage rent's important. And I've also started looking at education levels. Not that I'm looking for any particular number, but I know that as I've seen as the economy shifts and changes, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of shifts and changes with AI and upcoming and automation in the upcoming years, that people with higher education tend to be more resilient and can pay their bills when the economy's moving and shifting around. So I look at all that and make an assessment of the site.
I want to shift gears here real quickly for a minute and talk about a program that's coming out now, the Quick Start Inner Circle. And what I've noticed over the years that I've been coaching and supporting and holding live training events, probably the most important part of any training I've ever done has been the follow-up. And in the follow-ups, people from all over the country get together on live training calls. We cover timely topics, what's going on with people at that particular moment. And what I've seen is the community really supports each other. And as a community, everyone on those calls and those training follow-up calls grows, and it accelerates their growth into the self-storage business. I've had a number of requests over the years to have something like this where people who've done the training or who are just getting in the business and just becoming familiar with who I am, that they have a place to go in a community environment. Well, that's what the Quick Start Inner Circle is about. There will be live training calls and Q&As, and you'll have a chance to ask questions and be with people all across the country who are getting in or who are growing their self-storage business, see what they're doing that works and doesn't work. They will support you, and you will end up supporting other people. There'll be a library of resources, forums, training, all at your disposal. It'll be the place that you go. It'll be your first stop as you're trying to find out the next step for you in getting in or growing your self-storage business. Click the link in the comment section or click the link below to find out more about it. Now let's get back. Thanks for your time.
The next critical one is market demand. What's the supply demand for that particular trade area? Now, ultimately, we get a feasibility report, but when I'm first looking at a site, I'm not going to pay for that. There are subscription services such as Radius Plus or Yardi that you can get preliminary reports, but you can also, I've done it a lot by myself, where I'll look at how many storage facilities are around there, what's the size of them, and we know that it's going to be somewhere between 6.5 on the low end to 8.5 on the high end. Square feet per capita is probably equilibrium, depending on what part of the country you're in, how close to the coast you are. So I do a preliminary supply demand analysis. Then I look at the facilities. Are they rented up? Are they offering discounts to just get you in the door? I try to make some kind of determination on the supply demand and the health of that particular trade area so that I'm not wasting my time analyzing a site and thinking about bringing more space in to a clearly overbuilt market area. Additionally, I want to look at the zoning regs, see if it's challenging to get approvals or not. I'll kind of make that determination. Hopefully I'm not doing any rezoning. I hate rezoning. I'm looking at sites that are either zoned or all I have to do is get a conditional use permit. And for my preliminary financial analysis, I use about 15, if I'm doing single story drive up, I use about 15,000 square feet per acre. If it's a larger, just climate control building or multi-story building, I look at it differently. But just drive up, climate control, non-climate control, I assume I'm going to get about 15,000 net rentable square feet per acre. You remember how many square feet there are in an acre, those of you who've been through the boot camp, right? And lastly, I do a quick site evaluation on utilities. I want to make sure that utilities are there or close by. I'm not having to drag them miles down the road, that they hit the site. Usually they come in at one particular side or corner of the site. I want to make sure and find out, do a quick analysis of where the site utilities are, so I'm not wasting my time on a site where I've got to spend a lot of money bringing them there, and I know I'm not going to do that. So it's important today, more than ever, to not waste your time on looking at sites that aren't going to work. Why? Because the good sites could be taken up by the time you find them. So that's my philosophy, for what it's worth, on site selection and feasibility analysis as I'm preliminarily looking at a particular site. Choose the right location and you will get the benefits that this fantastic business of self-storage can offer us. Thank you. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool we use as after we find a site and we want to run what the potential cash flows could be under different scenarios on this particular site. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com or storageworldanalyzer.com. At the end of this video, you'll see a link right to it if you're on YouTube. So thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you next week.